There's a lot of theological debate on whether we should be doing missions or not, but missions isn't about where you go. Missions is about you saying, I'm going to give my life away for this assignment by faith in the Lord. And he said, if you'll give your life away by faith, I'll redefine what life really means to you. That's what missions do to you. It's incredible to see it happen and how it transforms life. So I encourage everyone to go on a mission trip of some form, some way, whether that's local, national, or international. That room should be full afterwards. I'm just telling you, it'll change your lives. It changed my son's life. We sent him at age 15, 16 years old. He went over, came back, and just exploded, you know, changing the world for us. So that's awesome. Let's preach now, shall we? Let's teach the word. Amen? Let's go ahead and do that. But I feel like I need to pray or something. I have a lot of stuff to go through. But so let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity to be together in your name. We pray that the word that comes now, what shall bring transformation and illumination and revelation, God, that it will change and transform our lives for the glory of God. We pray, God, that this word be in season and to be spoken under the power of the Spirit, not with the wisdom or intelligence of man. We bless you and thank you for the opportunity to be here corporately in your name. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get down to business. I'm taking my coat off, so it's serious business. Got your Bible? Go with me to Matthew 3, 13 to 17. This will be the text for today. This message today, I believe, is timely because many of us, God is preparing, we're at an intersection. And many of us, we're at this intersection by faith. Maybe we don't know it yet. Maybe you're here and you don't know it. Maybe you're watching and you don't know it. But the season we're in, God is attempting to release salvation to the earth. But we're too timid at times. We're too insecure at times. We're too fearful at times. And this message is foundational for the believer in these seasons. And there'll be, you know, there will be more seasons like this to come. But this one is almost prophetic because it speaks to the moment we're in and what's upon us. And so let's go to the text. Matthew 3. I'm going to read from the NIV. It just speaks a little more clearly. Don't judge me. This is a particular... You know, some people are really committed to the, you know, one version or another. But anyhow. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. You might want to underline that John consented to what Jesus requested. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, what moment? At that moment, heaven was opened. At that moment, when Jesus was baptized, he came, the moment he broke the surface of the water, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. He, John, saw this. And everyone who was there saw this. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love. This is my son, whom I love. With him, I'm so pleased. I want to set the backdrop of this occurrence for you because, you know, when this happened, you need to understand that Jesus was 30 years old. He's 30 years old. He's a grown man. Jesus is a grown man, and a voice from heaven came and said these words over a grown man, and they needed to be heard by Jesus. He spent 30 years of his life listening to all of the voices that surrounded him. Thousands of years before he ever was born, they were talking about him. When he arrived, I'm certain he was told of how his family had to flee in exile for their life, and they were talking about him. Rome was abuzz. The kings of the earth were worried about him, and they were talking about him. All of these words being spoken over his life, all of these accusations, all of these prejudices, all of these words of reproach being spoken for 30 years of his life, he was subject to listen to what everybody was saying. Religious people had their perspectives. Politicians had their perspectives. His brothers and sisters, they had their perspectives. Some of them thought he was who he said he was. Others doubted him. Others blasphemed him. Others hated him because of it. There was all of these words happening. And Jesus gets to this point on this day. Can you imagine? Aware of what's about to happen. Certainly he was aware of the plan of eternity that would run through him. Certainly he carried the burden of salvation, so much so that he was aware of his destiny, his assignment, having to keep it inside of him and had no friend. Who could he go to say, "Hey, Marlon, they're going to kill me"? Who could he go to say, "These are the fears. This is the insecurity in my heart. I know I'm the Son of God, but I also bear the humanity of man. And my soul is in anguish over what at the intersection of life that I stand in today. My soul is in anguish at what I'm facing." It's such a moment of transition for Jesus. 30 years old, he's about to be released. The Father's about to let him know, "This is your moment." And here he is, he's facing this moment, and he is looking forward to it. Because for so long, he had listened to the noise. For so long, he had listened to the noise. Because you really need to hear what Dad says. Because what everybody else says gets noisy. And if you start listening to what they're saying, their insecurities start talking out the side of their necks. They start jibber-jabbering, smashing their mouths. And next thing you know, you're listening to that. And inside of you, as a son or a daughter of God, arises inside of you some sort of insecurity, fear, apprehension. You stand at the precipice of the plan of salvation for your life. The plan of redemption for your life. The plan of God for your life. You're at this thing. And if you aren't careful to block out the noise and the distortion. You know, the Bible says that he is the author of the noise of the power and principalities of the air. Have you ever been listening to the radio and rode through a place where there was a lot of distortion in the radio? It was hard to hear the melody that was coming through the radio because there's all this distortion. He is the author of distortion. And he will use anyone to achieve his evil agenda, won't he? He'll use your sister, your brother, your best friend, religious minds. He'll use politicians. He'll use potentates and kings and powers of the earth just to attempt to get the sons and daughters diverted from the plan of salvation that's about to affect the earth in such a powerful way. If he can just get in your mind and cause insecurity and apprehension and all of this fear, the next thing you know, your faith begins to dwindle. Because sometimes you got to start listening to what Dad says. Now, my My father, my relationship wasn't that good until later in years, and God used me to bless him. But there was, don't make no mistake about it. I look back retrospectively in my life, and I look and I see how there were certain moments in my life where I just needed, I needed to hear my father say something over me. I needed a voice from heaven to say something about me, to tell me what I needed to hear rather than what I wanted to hear. And today, you know, that man is Dr. Kayton, Pastor Kayton. And so when all of the distortion of the world gets loud and I start hearing high religious minds and they like to occupy the prophetic office, it's so evil that they will jump in the office of the prophetic and they'll start chomping their gums and talking about, and it's so evil and manipulated that they'll actually say, this is what your father says, when in reality, my daddy never said such thing. I go back to my dad and I say, Dad, I need you to tell me who I am. I need to hear a voice from my father, because they're talking crazy. That means the stuff that's coming out their mouth is insane. And I realize I got an assignment from the Lord in my belly. And so I can't run the risk of listening to that garbage and getting fear in me and getting anxiety in me and causing me not to sleep at night, causing my anointing to diminish. I need God, Father, Pastor Kayton, Doctor, I need you to tell me, as my daddy, what is it you see? What is it you know? What is it about me that I'm about to go? Tell me what. I need my daddy to talk to me. And I'm just here to tell you that there is a powerful release from heaven that is attempting to get into your spirit. But what you've got is you've got all of this noise. You've got all of this distractions going on. They come from your family members. Well, I can't believe you go over to that cult on the North Coast. That is so crazy. They're just crazy. They actually believe the Lord Jesus Christ still heals people when you lay hands on the sick. I can't believe you would pray in tongues. That doesn't make any sense. That heaven would actually have a language on the earth that it does not. No, that is ridiculous. I can't believe that you're just full. Okay, excuse me. Let me go back up here. So Jesus gets here. He stands there 30 years. He needs to hear. Oh, you can only imagine. He's like, go ahead and say it. Oh, I just need to hear you say it. Father, I need to hear you say it. My earthly father never said it. Could you just tell me? Tell me one more time. If you were to hear a voice from heaven audibly over your life, I've never heard it audibly. I think I've seen it, but I've never heard it audibly. You know, where God...
Troy!
He's never talked to me like that. If he did, I don't know what I'd do. Probably cry. You know what I mean? Like, because the Bible describes his voice as the sound of many waters. It's so thunderous. It's so loud. That's why when people say it's too loud in church, I giggle. Because his voice carries such thunder in it. When he declares a thing, it said the skies opened up when his voice began to utter. The mountains melt like wax when he declares a thing. His voice thundered from heaven. And if you were to hear it, I mean, if you were to actually hear heaven, a voice from heaven speak over your life, what would you want it to say? Let me think about this. Maybe the Mega Lotto lottery. Maybe that number, you could give that to me. The Powerball would be good. That number would be good. Maybe give me some stock information, Jesus. How about, you know, maybe. Just tell me this. Who's going to win the finals this year? The NBA finals. Will the Cavs win? Will they make it? What's going on? Maybe, you know. God, tell me some secrets. You know, tell me who killed JFK. where's Jimmy Hoffa buried? You know what I'm saying? Like, what would you ask him for? If he were going to talk, what would you want him to say? If the Father, if a voice from heaven was going to speak, a better question is this. What would you need him to say? What would your soul need? Like your soul. What would you need the voice from heaven to declare that it knows that you're unaware of? Like, if the Father, who's outside of time, were to speak into time something significant into your life, what would you need him to say? Which is really, really amazing that this moment in the scripture is revealed to us. Because what the Father pronounces, what the voice of heaven pronounces over Jesus, was so simplistic on the surface, but so necessary to his humanity. And his humanity had to be ministered to in order for the Spirit of the Lord to operate with courage and power and faith. Jesus had faith. And in order for that to be released, he had to hear these words. He had to hear these words from heaven. And Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter Jesus, as we often do, when Jesus tries to use us to fulfill salvation's plan and assignment for the earth. John looks at Jesus and says to Jesus, I need you to baptize me. I don't want to baptize you. I'm the one who is in need of a baptism. And John, of all people, would have known what he was doing. It's his name. He's the baptizer. He knew the significance of the thing for which he was doing. He knew that the dirty water of the Jordan was symbolic of the sins of all mankind. Because when that water started at the top of Mount Hermon, it was crystal clear. It starts crystal clear, but as it runs down the mountain and runs into the Jordan, suddenly it picks up the deposits of the earth and it's muddy brown. And John probably looked at that water and said, I know my insufficiency and my deficiency and my inability and my righteousness is just like this water. I realize that in me, there is nothing good. And like all of us, when heaven attempts to use us, we look at that, we look at the dirty water in our lives and we say, there's nothing good in me. And we try to deter Jesus and we try to convince Jesus, don't use me because I need you to baptize me. I need to be cleansed, which is true, but it doesn't disqualify you from being used by heaven. And just as it didn't disqualify John as being used by heaven. And so he says, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. It is proper for us. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was looking for a partner for salvation in the earth? He was looking for a partner. It was as if Jesus was saying, I have the sufficiency, but I need a connection to the earth, and you're it. Yeah. See, it'd be like you starting a business, you know. I have the sufficiency to start this business, you know, like Jeremiah going to Haiti. I have all of the sufficiency to start this business, but what I need is a partner within the nation that understands the custom, the culture. I need somebody who's anchored in the earth to help me to fulfill the assignment, the divine assignment, the plan of salvation that I have for the earth. I have a master plan. Jeremiah said, I have the master plan. I just need you to partner with me to bring the master plan to fruition so that way people can eat and people can sleep and generations can be fed by it. And generations need to be fed by you. And God is looking to partner with you. But first he must have your consent to do so. And before Jesus could do anything, he looked at John and said, us. It's amazing. It's amazing that Jesus looks at John and he says, us. What? Us? You, me and you? And Jesus is looking for you and him to partner for something that brings heaven to earth. But he can't release the plan of heaven to earth without your partnership, without my partnership. He needs us to partner with him to bring heaven to earth. The voice of heaven needs our permission to bring the power of salvation. Matthew 3:15, he says, let it be so now. But wait. No, that's a message. I don't want that. I'll go back to mine. And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus said, we've got to do this because righteousness needs to be fulfilled. Righteousness needs to be fulfilled. And Jesus said, you see, I can't baptize you, John, because righteousness needs to be fulfilled. That word righteousness means justice needs to be paid for. Justice needs to be paid for. And John, if I baptize you, you don't have anything to pay with. John, you got to baptize me because I have the means to pay for righteousness in the earth. Your righteousness, they're like dirty rags to me. Didn't you read what the prophet said, John? Didn't you know what Isaiah said? Your righteousness counts for nothing. And so I've come, but I need you to partner with me. So you baptize me. So when I go down under that dirty water, I make it clean. And I make all those who by faith believe in me clean. And when they come up out of that water, then the deposit of my righteousness, my cleanliness gets on them because I've paid the price. You haven't paid the price, so you can't be baptized. You got to baptize me because I'm the only one that can fill up righteousness. You got nothing to pour into the empty vessel, which means your righteousness means nothing to God. It is your faith that moves him and not your righteousness. You got nothing to contribute to the whole thing, so why are you relying on your righteousness? You should write that down and maybe we'll get that later. But a lot of us live as if our righteousness moves God. Oh yeah, that's how we live. We live as if my cleanliness has something to do with his willingness to bring the plan of salvation through me. And when we feel like we're not righteous or not clean enough, we then feel like we're inadequate and disqualified from partnering with Jesus to bring salvation to the earth. And Jesus is looking at us like, John, I can't baptize you because you got nothing to contribute to this thing. You got to baptize me because I'm the only one that can pay for this thing. And if he's the only one that can pay for this thing, then you thinking you're righteous has nothing to do with this. It is your faith in what he did that makes you righteous. Nothing else, nothing more. And so let's stop disqualifying ourselves and let's stop judging others for crying out loud based upon how they look, how clean they are, or how clean they're not. Just because you sin different. Just because their sin is all out there in front of God and everybody, and you hide yours back here in the closet, you got yours back here, hiding it from everybody. But I got news for even those that do that. Jesus said, what you do back there in the closet, everybody knows when you come out of there. It's already in. You already out the closet. Stop living in there. That came from in here. Which leads me to this. And then we'll get to what the voice from heaven said. Matthew 3:16 says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, as soon as it happened, something happened. As soon as it happened, something happened. It said he went up out of the water, and at that very moment, heaven was opened. Heaven was opened at that very moment. And that word, opened, it carries a certain meaning where Jesus takes ownership of, and it says, I opened. It means Jesus opened. Jesus personally opened heaven. At that moment, when he went down, it didn't even happen yet. Y'all hear me? He didn't even actually do it yet. He wasn't even on the cross yet. He wasn't in the water is symbolic. Y'all get that, right? It was symbolic. It meant that he was going to die, go under in the tomb, and then come up out of the water. But before it even happened, he said, this symbolic act opens heaven over you. And if the symbolic act opened heaven and left it open, what do you think the actual thing did? What do you think actually happened when he hung on the cross, went in the earth, died, and then came up out of the earth alive? Do you think for 1 minute that heaven suddenly closed shut? And how much dishonor do we bring to the Son of the beloved Father when we suggest or we live as if heaven's windows are now shut over our life because some way, somehow, we live in the filth of yesterday in our mind because we listen to the nonsense that's coming out of the religious heads, the talking heads, that we live in that. And so suddenly we close the heavens and declare we're not worthy. When the very symbolic act of it, by him being baptized 3 years before, opened the heaven and left them open. Let it be so. Let it be said and let it be served now. Heaven is open for business. If you got the sick, bring them. If you got the lame, bring them. If you're poor, come. Heaven is open for business. So much so that Jesus declared, "Let heaven invade the earth. Let the earth be invaded with heaven. Let it be so like heaven that when people see it, they go, woo, the kingdom of heaven's come near. The kingdom of heaven's come near. Let my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because I've opened heaven, my will can be done on the earth." And so, the voice speaks. The voice speaks. And what the voice speaks is what our soul needs. It's what our humanity needs to hear. Because if it doesn't hear it, it loses courage, it loses faith, it loses partnership, it closes heaven. And so this revelation, 30 years old, Jesus, a grown man, still needing to hear what his daddy says. And this is what he says. This is my son. He said, "This is my son." Everybody there, everybody watching, the voice of many waters thunders. The one whose voice hangs the earth upon nothing, "This is my son." The God of eternity declares into time, he has a son. And it's interesting that what's happening here is that when the Father spoke the word to the Son, it has double meaning. The word there, we'll get to it in a minute, means love. It actually means the beloved and the beloved of the beloved. That's its interpretation. Meaning, this is my son. And oftentimes, well, women, you'll appreciate this. Oftentimes, my wife will talk to the children. She'll talk not to the children, but she shall talk through the children. Some of you got it. She will say a thing to the children, but it's really directed at me. She will say, "Precious, why aren't these..." And I'm sitting in the recliner, my feet up, and I'm thinking, I don't think she's talking to Precious. I think she's talking through Precious right now. And I should probably take out the garbage. Have you ever done it? Have you ever knowingly spoke through somebody to somebody? You say, I'm going to say this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say this to that person in the presence of all these other people. And when I say it to that person, all these other people are going to hear this message that I sent to that person. But more importantly, it went through that person, caught you, caught everybody in the room, and everybody now knows what I think. So when the Father said this over his son, he was saying it to his daughter. He wasn't speaking just to his son. He was speaking through his son to all who were present, who were listening that day, to all who would receive him by faith in the future. And to this day, what he spoke through the son hits us. And when it hits us, it declares to us, you're my daughter. He acknowledges us. How many know that what the world needs today is an acknowledgement of the Father? It's no accident, mistake, that the evil plot of the enemy is to remove the Father. Because what children need most, me as a child, what I need most, not what I want, what I need. I might not want my daddy telling me this, that, or the other. But what I need is my daddy telling me this, that, or the other. And how many know that as a child yourself, you need your father to say and acknowledge, you are my son. And Jesus needed it. And if Jesus needed it, I need it. How much more do you and I need it if Jesus needed it? How much more significant is it that we receive it because it went through him to us? That's my boy, he says. And that word son actually means, write this down. So when he said through Jesus to you and me as sons, he spoke to the beloved and he spoke to the beloved of the beloved. And he said, when he said that, what he was literally saying was, you share the Father's nature. Your nature is like mine. Don't you let those people lie to you. Don't you let the distortion of the enemy lie to me. Your nature is likened to mine. This is what son means. Your nature, just like mine. And so when the Father said, this is my son, he was saying over the son, his nature is me. If you see him, you see me. And so when he says to you, Dominic, he says, you're my son. He says, your nature is my nature. You see Dominic, you see me. He carries my nature. Secondly, it says, you carry the character of your father. So when he looked at Jesus, he said, he holds my character. He upholds the character of the father. When the father said that, he said, look at the character. This is the character. This is the integrity of the father. You see that integrity? You see how there's no sin in him and the enemy couldn't find any in him? He has the integrity of me. Doesn't matter now. Doesn't matter what you think about you, Jesus. What matters is what my word has declared over you. And don't you start lying. Don't you let that word come in there and tell you your character's rubbish. Don't you let the enemy lie to you through religious high minds and political parties and kings and potentates and teachers and all the other professional scribes. Don't you let them start lying to you and telling you that your character isn't what I said it is. And then thirdly, that word son means inheritance. It means you share in the father's inheritance. So when he said, this is my son, he said he has the inheritance of heaven. Oh, Jesus. He says over you and I, he spoke through Jesus to you and me. And he says all of the inheritance of heaven now belongs to you. You are my son. You are my daughter. You have the inheritance, nature, character, and inheritance of your father. That's powerful. So he says, this is my son. He acknowledges us as sons and daughters. Secondly, he affirms his commitment to love us unconditionally. He affirms his commitment to love us unconditionally. Because he says, whom I love. Whom I love. He calls him out and he says, this is my son whom I love. whom I love. And that word love there, it means beloved. And it has a double reference. Well, like I said, it means to Christ and to those beloved of Christ. It means those who put their trust in Christ have the same love. In John 17, he says, as I have loved you, I have loved them. The same love the Father has for Jesus, he has through Jesus to you and I. He loves us the same. And how true it is when our pastor says, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. How much of heaven does that sound like when he says, there's nothing you can do about my love for you. It's unconditional. Doesn't matter how much you steal. Doesn't matter how much you lie. Doesn't matter what you slept with last night. Doesn't matter where you went last night. My love for you cannot be changed. Because of the Son, because of the righteousness of the Son, because of the nature of the Son, because of the character of the Son, and because of the inheritance of the Son. There's not one thing you can do. And if you're sitting in here today judging yourself as disqualified from His love, you are flat broke wrong. He loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. So he affirms his commitment to us, to love us, through it all, through it all, through the doubt, through the shame, through the pain, through the hurt, through the suffering, through the rejection. He loves you. So he acknowledges you, he affirms you, and lastly, he approves of you. This is powerful. I was hanging on the back of the truck in Haiti. And you know, when you go through some things and tragedy hits your life, words start flying around your head. Things are said. You're not careful, you start paying attention to the powers and principalities of the air, speaking things, because the circumstance is contradictory to the promise. And the promise seems like, well, I'm discredited and disqualified from the promise because this tragedy hit my life. And when tragedies hit your life, you got two choices. Grab hold of those words up there in the air. You can go to your Father and say, you got to speak a word to me from heaven. I need a word from heaven because what I'm looking at don't seem like what you would say to me. This doesn't seem like your nature or your character or your inheritance. So I'm a little confused right now. God, I need to hear a voice from heaven over my life. And I hung on the back of that truck going through one of the most painful things in my life. I hung on the back of that truck and I turned away. And if I could tell you one thing about Haiti, I could tell you it's noisy. There's always a honking horn. When I say a honking horn, I mean a blasting horn. And then there's always chatter and screaming and yelling and wailing. And there's always this diesel engine roaring in your ear because you're on the back of a flatbed and the wind is running through your ear. You can barely hear, but there's so much distortion, it's hard to hear anything. I hung on the back of that truck and I held on to the back, turned my face away from everybody, and I said, God, I need to hear a voice from heaven, and I need to know what you declare over me rather than what I'm witnessing right now, what I'm feeling right now. And out of all of the distortion, suddenly it grew silent, and I heard his voice say this right here: I'm so pleased with you. Maybe, you see, this is not an obligation to love you. As his, you know, as a daddy, he's obligated to love you. He's obligated. He has to pay the rent. He's got to put food in your mouth. He's got to do that because he's a daddy. So he's got to provide for me. But it doesn't mean he's got to like me. Doesn't mean he has to place delight in me. Doesn't mean he enjoys me. Maybe he feels the same way about me that some others do. Maybe when I look at them, I'm hearing him. He said, no. I know I'm obligated to love you because I'm your Father. But more than that, I'm well pleased with you, which means I take great delight and pleasure in you. Who you are makes me giggle. Who you are, I enjoy. You know, there are certain nights when Jeremiah will come up out of the basement and we'll sit and we'll watch Parks and Rec, or don't judge me, or Parks and Rec is awesome, or Sports Center. Those are moments you take delight in. Like, man, I enjoy your company. I'm not burdened by your company. You being here, you make me smile. And that's what God declares over you. Who you are, how you walk, how you talk, the way you think, the way you sing, the way you worship, the way you don't worship. He loves you. He affirms you. He takes great delight in you. Let's close as we all stand together. Let's close in the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand. Yes, Lord. Altar ministers are going to come forward now. If you're an altar minister, please come forward now. And we'd like to pray for you. Maybe you're here in this place and you've never heard a voice from heaven affect your life. Maybe you've never heard the Father say to you, "You're my son, I love you, and I'm so pleased with you." If you've never heard it, this is your day, this is your minute, and we want to pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never heard those words from your Father, I pray now that in this moment, you would understand this is a transitional moment for you. That there's an assignment that's in front of you where God is looking to partner with you to release heaven to the earth. He needs your consent, but more importantly, he needs you to know that you are his son, that he loves you, and that he takes great delight in you. The Bible says you can be born again. Maybe you're born again, you just need to hear that again. The Bible says as you place your trust in what Christ did on the cross on that day, you can be born again. You repent of your sins, which means you stop thinking the way you used to think about yourself, and you start thinking the way the voice from heaven thinks you are. The Father thinks very well of you. He loves you. He's so pleased with you. And he declares today, "You are my son and you are my daughter. I've begotten you," which means you carry his DNA. Born again, that's what it means to be born of the Spirit, to be born of the living God. We thank you today, God, that you died for us, and so we promise to live for you. We put our trust, all of our trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to hearts that need to hear the Father's affirmation, acknowledgement, approval. Declare it now. We bless you today, Lord. We thank you for this time together. Your presence is like heaven to us. Heaven in a world that's dry and famished. You are like heaven. Satisfy the thirsty today and the longing heart. God has a destiny and an assignment for you. Don't ever believe otherwise. We silence the enemy who would attempt to cast reproach upon us. And we embrace what the Father declares over us. "This is my beloved son and daughter, whom I love, and I am well pleased." Thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand today. If you need prayer today, if you have sickness or you know somebody that's sick, we believe that heaven operates still in the earth, and we'd like to pray for you. If you surrendered your life to Jesus, please come forward. We'd like to pray for you for that as well. God bless you as you go today. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. Let Jesus speak to you today and let him speak through you. God bless you as you go. You're welcome to come or just stay and dwell in the presence of the Lord. God bless you as you go.